listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
The world's greatest podcast network.
Hey everybody, it's Jess Harnell, the voice of Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, because you know what's good.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
You know, it's almost time for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It is. It's true.
I just watched that final trailer this morning.
That is going to land this week, isn't it?
No, the 27th.
No,
2 weeks. 2 weeks from now. Okay.
And then did you see the, I know I'm jumping ahead and everything, but did you see the trailer for the new season of the Orville?
Yes.
That looks fucking great.
It looks amazing. And
I didn't give a shit until I saw the trailer and I was like, hey, wait a minute.
We're all excited in this house. It's like, woohoo, more Star Trek.
Yep. Very excited.
Nice. I'm excited for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is season 3 and I don't think they're getting another one, so you can actually watch the Orville.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Yep. It's already done. That means I can go back and watch it.
And you can watch Obi-Wan because it's just a limited series.
Right.
And you can watch Naomi because they decided not to do it. They decided not to do a season 2.
Boy. Right, that too. I mean, it's all coming up for Jocelyn to be able to watch things, you guys. It's great.
You got a summer of viewing now.
Yeah, we got a great story about the bloodbath over at the CUW this week.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
Night of the Long Knives over the CW.
It was like the anti-Oprah. And you don't have a show, and you don't have a show, and you don't have a show. Heaven's sake.
Yeah, that was me going, since when does CW cancel anything?
That too.
Oh boy. Anyway,
we're jumping way ahead.
How was your week?
It was good. I can't think of anything. I got to go to the comic book store and pick up some comic books. That was always delightful, as usual. Mm-hmm. That's all. I really had a quite unremarkable week. I had a migraine earlier in the week. That was terrible. Came home and slept for like 20 hours. That's it. That's all I did. I slept. It was great. How about you guys, though?
I also went to the comic book shop this week.
Yes, you did. And you had a migraine.
All fucking week, I still got it, the little fucker.
Ew. Sorry, friend.
No, we did the typical Tuesdays, my least favorite day of the week, where we just sit there and process everything to get ready for Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesday was a little slow, so we cleaned up the rest of the free comic book day stuff. There wasn't much left. And just worked all week with this fucking headache, which I cannot shake. Mostly because I don't have opioids, I don't have cannabinoids, mm-hmm. I don't have anything I can take right now other than fucking Tylenol. At which point, you know, the migraine's all, oh, amateur. So
I laugh at your Tylenol.
Yeah. So that's all. I just, I've basically been medicating with a series of naps.
Fair.
What about you, sir?
Me? Work all week. I mean, that was the big thing of the week, was just work. I mean, working in between getting ready for this upcoming Scottish festival that I'll be attending. Trying to build a sword in the stone trick.
Ooh.
Yep. I think I've got it. I think it's going to work. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Like the one at Disneyland?
Well, maybe not as high tech. A little more low tech. Yeah. One, I don't know. I've seen one. The commissioner for the U.S. has one that is all metal and carefully engineered. and I don't know how, I don't know what it is. And I didn't lift up the stone when I was at the, games and saw his version to see how it works. But, I've been after him to send me photos and stuff. He never has. And then somebody else in the clan said, oh, I've got photos, and I built one. I've got photos. It was all made of wood. And I'm like, I can do wood. Not that my carpentry skills are for shit, but I can do wood. And yeah, so I've been building that. Did a base test today. And yeah, you can't. You could, if you really go for it, pull that sword out. But just like a little kid who this is the target audience. No, it's in there.
Nice.
So yeah.
That's awesome.
Until we release the lever and then, or push down the lever and then they can pull the sword out. So it'll be fun. But that's been off and on, plus just trying to gather shit to get everything ready. It's a lot of work. It's a lot. It'll be worth it, I hope. Or it'll suck ass and I'll be mad that I did all that work for nothing.
Fair.
I'm going to hope for the it's totally worth it side of life.
Yep.
That's my hope for you, friend.
Meanwhile, for Shaolin Dun, it's still 2 pages. In fact, everything else is literally done. Except the last 2 pages still have to be drawn and then inked, then colored, then lettered. And yeah, Greg's on vacation. So we'll see when I get those 2 pages.
Fingers yep. crossed, man.
Fingers crossed, man. I'm hoping to have it done before the end of the month, and then I can send it off to the printer and deal with all that shit in July. But man, this has taken a long time to get this done. And I feel the age. I feel the years tick by on this thing. It's rough.
Yeah.
That's my sad story, I guess. Let's dive into some news.
Fred Ward, veteran character actor who delighted fans in the first 2 Tremor movies. For me, fuck Tremors, Remo Williams.
Yeah, he's always Remo Williams to me.
Has passed away, 79 years old, which means, I believe, no sequel to Remo Williams.
Aww.
Because I really needed one to explain to me what the movie Remo Williams was all about. I still don't know.
Well, maybe a reboot without Joel Grey playing an Asian man would be good.
Sure, you think?
Yeah.
So he was in The Right Stuff, which is a wonderful movie. He played Gus Grissom. He was in The Player. He was in Shortcuts. He was in First Do No Harm. He was in Grey's Anatomy and Leverage. He was in the most recently the comic book adaptation Two Guns with Denzel and Mark Wahlberg.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. His final screen role was in True Detective Season 2. So, yeah, I'm sad about that. I liked Fred Ward. Every time he popped up, I was like, hey, Fred Ward. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Same way.
Same. Yeah.
In fact, it was more him than, what's his name? Michael Keaton or whoever who played, who was in Tremors.
Kevin Bacon. Yeah, I was going to say Kevin Bacon.
Oh, that's right. Kevin Bacon. And then the other one I was thinking of was Alex Keaton's dad in Growing Pains, because he plays a redneck survivalist.
In Family Ties.
In like 15 Family Ties. That's Tremors right.
Family
movies.
Ties.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to bother the back of my head for the rest of time and eternity. I'll look it up,
thanks,
friends.
Buddy. I was just about to. Zack Snyder fan bots reportedly rigged the Oscars fan categories. A report is postulating that Zack Snyder's Justice League and Army of the Dead won the fan-voted categories at this year's Academy Awards thanks to bots. The Academy says, no, our computers are foolproof. We have six Ataris and a Commodore 64. You couldn't hack it if you tried.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, in a vote where the average voting was around 1,400 a day, all of a sudden, it went up to 16,000 a day. I don't know. Whatever. If Zack Snyder cheated, he cheated.
Well, I don't know about Zack Snyder cheating. I think it was just, yeah.
No, I could just see him pounding away on his Amiga.
His Amiga.
I'll get them to give me an award.
Jumping back to Tremors really quick. It's Michael Gross.
Michael Gross. That's who it was.
Also, I had no idea there were that many Tremors titles.
Told you.
You did. You did tell me. I had no idea.
And I don't know that Fred Ward's, he's probably in all of them. I don't know. I know Kevin Bacon eventually got enough of a limelight to stop doing them, but yeah.
Well, Michael Gross was in all of them.
Yeah, Michael right. Gross did them all.
Yeah.
Because he was the crazy survival nut.
Yeah.
I remember Tremors being like a mid-80s movie, but it came out in 1990. So my whole world now is turned upside down, friends. Mm-hmm. I don't even. Don't. I'm young. It's fine. I'm younger than you. It's fine.
At 93 years old, James Hong finally got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That made me so happy.
I fucking love this dude. Everything he's in, has for the most part that I've seen him in, has just been delightful. As I recall, he was also in Big Trouble in Little China, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
How that's not in the headline, I don't know.
Because that's the better movie, yeah. Yep. That is a superior. No, James Hong has been working for years. I mean, he was the voice of Po's dad in all the Kung Fu Panda movies. His goose dad. And you need an old Asian guy with a very distinct accent. James Hong would get hired.
Well, dude fantastic. He's got 453 acting credits, you guys.
Yeah, he does.
Dude's been around.
He's never not been working in the film industry.
You have absolutely seen or heard his voice in something.
Yep.
There's no way you haven't.
Well, most recently, voice acting. Most recently? He was Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
All at Once.
He was.
Fucking good in that movie.
It's hard to believe he's 93.
It's really hard to believe he's that old.
Right. Seriously, first film credit is in the mid-50s. He was in an episode of something called Flight. He was in something called Dragonfly Squadron as a South Korean pilot trainee. Seriously, he's got an awful lot of uncredited items where he is things like a Chinese policeman, communist soldier.
Yep.
So, but yeah, no, I mean, dude's awesome, man. He's just awesome.
To quote him, when I came back from Hong Kong at 9 years old, I was beaten up in the grade school playground because I couldn't speak English. From that point on, I fought all the way to what I'm doing now. So I encourage all Asian Americans, all people of all different nationalities, to express yourself and do your own thing the best you can, and then things will get better as a whole. Rick Riordan. Riordan.
Yep.
Rick Riordan, whose name is not spelled like it comes across.
No.
Had occasion to jump upon the internet, grasp it around the throat, whack its head against the concrete a few times, and go, "Stop being so fucking racist."
Thank you, Rick.
He says to start out, Leah Jeffries is Annabeth Chase. He says, this post is specifically for those who have a problem with the casting of Leah Jeffries as Annabeth Case. It's a shame such posts need to be written, but they do. First, let me be clear. I'm speaking here only for myself. These thoughts are mine alone. They do not necessarily reflect or represent the opinions or any part of Disney, the TV show, the production team, or the Jeffries family. We skip ahead. We skip ahead to the end where he says, watch the show or don't. That's your call, but this will be an adaptation that I'm proud of, which fully honors the spirit of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, taking the bedtime story I sold my son 20 years ago to make him feel better about being neurodivergent and improving on it so that kids all over the world can continue to see themselves as the heroes of Camp Half-Blood. So you might be wondering, what's the core of the message in between the first and last paragraphs, Jeff? Why'd you skip all that? Well, it's basically, don't be racist. We cast a very talented girl for the part. And just because in the book she was white doesn't mean it can't be, oh, there we go, a non-white actress in the part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's just silly. But it's, he says, you're judging her appropriateness for the role solely and exclusively on how she looks. She's a black girl playing someone who is described in the books as white. Friends, that is racism. And before you resort to the old knee-jerk reaction, I'm not a racist, let's examine that statement, too. And then he does quite well. What you should do is pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com and click on this one and read the entire blog post. It's fucking great. I don't want to read too many of his words for fear that Disney will get mad at me.
Or Rick Reardon. I mean, that man's got a lot of money. That Percy Jackson book series, I mean, that was everything in the fifth grade for at least my kid and every other kid.
Rick, buddy, I didn't mean to say your name wrong. Can I have a grant?
Yeah, please. Please.
If for nothing else, to maybe take the time to learn to say your name right.
Yeah, fair.
That's it for the news, gang.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
So, what have you been watching on the TVs this week? Let's start with Joss.
I've still been doing my rewatch of Westworld, which is quite delightful and enjoyable, and I forgot how much I love Tessa Thompson until I watched this again, you guys. Like, seriously. Mm-hmm. But then I also started a new series called Outer Range with Josh Brolin, and he's a rancher, but there's a hole. And what is the hole, you guys? Nobody knows. It's quite delightful.
I got a feeling Imogen Poots knows a little bit about it.
You think?
Because I've watched the first two episodes.
Right.
And she, not to throw any spoilers out there, because the final episode just dropped, she didn't seem very surprised at what happened to him.
True. She did not.
No.
She did not. So, I agree.
And from what I understand, it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder as the show goes on. And so I'm looking forward to it. But I got to admit, every time they stand on the edge of that hole, I get a little vertigo. I was like, could you just take a step back, please? Just take a step back, please. Please?
Just don't be right on the edge, guys.
Tie your horse up. I don't want the horse to fall in the hole. Can we get away from the hole? It's not a normal hole.
The scene where the cow is running toward the hole? Holy crap. I was so tied up. And maybe you haven't been there. Sorry if I spoiled that for you, but there's a cow.
Dumbass cow.
Right? So... Yeah, I broke my own rule about not watching something until it's announced there's another season because I don't like to ruin it for people, solely because my mother told me I had to watch this, and she was absolutely correct. So, find it.
Brolin is fucking great, man.
So good.
He's good
so
big sky broody.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Rancher.
Yeah.
I use the cows to destroy the cows.
pretty much. So what about you guys, though? What else have you been watching?
I only need half the herd.
uh I you know how sometimes when a show that you like has a final season, so you fucking ignore it?
Right. Because you don't want it to end.
Yeah, it turns out Lucifer got two last seasons.
Yes,
and
it did.
So right now, I'm in the middle of the family fight with Michael, and God just showed up and was what's-his-name from the insurance commercials.
Yes.
And
I'm like, of course he's God.
Like, oh, great God. I like the fact that God wears a cardigan.
Yeah.
that kind of cracked me up.
I don't think I've finished the last season yet. I think I've just kind of let it sit because I'm like, I don't really want it to end. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in my downtime when the news, which, look, you guys know when I watch the news, it never gets on top of me for the most part. I've been doing it. I've been doing it longer than we've been doing the show, you know, because it's my life and politics, everything else. It's always been about news. And just the last few weeks, there are days when I'm like, this is just too much. I need to just tune out for an hour or two, and I'll throw on Lucifer for a couple hours, and then I'll wander off, and then I'll come back, and I'll be like, yeah, I better turn the news on. Who knows what the fuck has happened in the last 2 hours? So
It didn't take long yesterday, day before recording, for something to happen that I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
So, I will say thank you for keeping on top of the news so that I can listen on Mondays and catch up what I need to know, because it's overwhelmed me for years.
Well, and like we like to say on the Left Show, the way that we present it is in a way that it's mockable. And if you can make fun of something, it's powerless against you.
Yep.
Yes.
But I got to go. I got to go through a lot to get to that point. So
we
got to
find news that's mockable or shoutable. Yeah. We do like to shout at the news on the Left Show.
And then, you know, JC and I can talk about Star Trek.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another great, great episode.
Oh my God. I'm digging this because they didn't do this on Discovery. Yes, we're going to have the core two in this case. I thought it should be core three, but we're not really using Rebecca Romijn that much. The core two, Spock and Pike, but you know, you've got all this good stuff going on with, you know, like we're going to focus on one character or two characters in an episode that are, you know, I mean, they didn't do it on Discovery. It was all Michael all the fucking time. And this, I like how they're doing this. And I like the focus on Uhura. I like George Kirk being the guy that is the cautionary tale.
Yep.
I'm like, no wonder he left Starfleet to go live on that planet that later got attacked by brain parasites. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. I liked the little bit of business with the mustache. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm starting to like the mustache. You should grow one.
You should grow one. Yeah.
So, next topic.
Well, the mustache has always been a joke because in the original series, when Kirk beams down to the planet that his brother is on and he sees his body, he turns it over. They put his stunt double turning the body over, and it's William Shatner with a cheesy mustache laying there dead.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I'm like, yeah, let's just keep making fun of the mustache for a little while. That's fun to me. At the same time, I'm getting serious guy vibes from.
He's,
aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. What's my last name? What's my last name? You don't know.
I'm like, they could have cast what's his name in that role, and it just would have worked so well. So,
Sam Rockwell.
It would have worked just as well.
Yeah. No, I'd watched it, and at the end of it, I went,
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
So,
and next week looks even cooler. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Everybody gets turned into moths, apparently, next week. All the away team comes back turned into moths.
Fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the salt vampires to come back.
Oh, I'm excited for that. In some ways, that would be the first time they'd appeared. So, yeah. let's see, this week also, along with Star Trek Strange New Worlds, Naomi finale, two-part finale, mostly because they knew they'd been told they were getting canceled. And so they dumped both episodes out. We'd already had the Superman and Lois. I guess that was the finale last week. It's hard to tell sometimes with CW shows. This one definitely hit the finale, had all the finale vibes. And I'm now sad that I'm not going to get to continue this because I really enjoyed the show. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Kung Fu. So I started studying story structure, which helped me to write my comic book. And the main story structure I really focused on was one called Save the Cat that has certain beats that you follow throughout the narrative. And, the showrunner for, Kung Fu has read Save the Cat and she is definitely following it. Because we just had the bad guys close in, and we're about to have the Dark Knight of the Soul episode next week. So that's kind of where we're at. I'm like, oh, I now know where we're at in this show. So we'll only have a couple of episodes left to rally the troops and create the win. And then The Flash. So last episode, for reasons only known to the writer's room, they decided to kill off Frost. She died heroically, saving Caitlin, who has been separated from her. But they decided to kill off Frost. And I was like, okay, fine.
Okay.
So this week was Funeral for a Friend, was the episode. And it was neat because they kind of went off with each character group and had them kind of explore. You kind of saw what they were trying to do to deal with the grief and everything. And, yeah, it was okay. It was fine. The ending was a little cliche, and I was a little disappointed in it. Just the decisions made for the ending. I'm like, oh wait, it's still the Flash's writer's room. That's right. Okay. They've been giving me good Flash all season, but that writer's room is still there. They got to pull some shitty idea out, and there it is. I also want to know what the fuck is going on with Iris and why her time sickness went on hold until the end of the episode, except for convenience, I guess. And I don't know if this was a season finale. It could have been. Again, it's hard to tell with later seasoned CW shows. So there could be another Flash next week, or there might not be. I may just be watching Kung Fu next week. We'll see. And Star Trek, of course.
Of course.
But that's what I've watched. Let's do some TV news.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Wonder, wonder, wonder. We can share a love divine.
Hi, I'm Adrian Paul, and I'm listening to Hold 322, the world's greatest podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
A new trademark filing by Paramount could confirm the dumbest named maybe.
Maybe.
Project Khan as a Star Trek miniseries. I don't have a problem.
So there's a book. There's a book that was written called The Eugenics War.
Yep.
And that's what I'd like to see done as a miniseries. Or as a series of 90-minute shows like they do in Britain, 90-minute movies.
Like three 90-minute movies like Sherlock Holmes.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And let's do Project Khan. And you can call it Project Khan if you want, but I mean, as long as you do that story.
It's like they already know him. They already know the guy. You got a folder idea and you got a target already.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I like the date on the folder that was in the 90s. That kind of cracked me up.
Yeah, it was. And everybody's like, well, what about all the times that you know, when DS9 or Voyager went back to the 21st century, it's like most of that war was eugenics war was happening in Asia. That was long established that it was happening in Asia. So, you know, America, we could give a shit if we're not involved directly. About wars.
What?
Especially Asian wars.
I don't understand. Yeah. Are there white people? I don't.
No, no. No, not at all.
Is there oil? Is there oil?
Could have been a problem. But yeah, no. I think it stayed out of the Middle East, in fact. So yeah.
Fair, yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
But yeah, the final episode for season two, Star Trek Picard, finished, and viewers can think about it. Can be argued. I'm reading this. This isn't my. It could be argued that Picard had the least amount of actual trekking through space. That is true. There was very little. There was very little space time. They went to the sun and back.
Yep.
You know.
And then to that weird wormhole thing that opened. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they were in space for that too. Still, not very much space. Not a lot of space. Not so much space.
Right. But isn't that the point of that show? Like, I don't watch it, but I thought, based on the trailers, that the point of Picard was that this was like what they were doing when they were not in space.
Exactly.
Kind of. This was a time travel one. They had to fix time getting broken by Q.
But anyway, at the end of the episode,
Q had to have a weird way to say goodbye to Picard. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my gift to you. I'm going to break time.
I see.
Yeah, and again, the opening tones and the ending tones were jarring.
Yeah.
And it's important to note, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it anyway.
I enjoyed every episode for what it was.
Yep.
And I can still look at it and go, it was really uneven. And yet for some reason that didn't bother me as much as it would in another show.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically at the end, not Data Brent Spiner, having had all of his toys taken away, opens a drawer and pulls out a file that says Project Khan on it. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea what's going on.
Well, that leads into Enterprise.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it?
The character he played in Enterprise, which was another Soong who had basically he and his family had been doing genetic augmentation with Khan, with the Khan idea. And they were running around. And then somehow that wound up infecting the Klingons and taking away their head ridges, if I remember right. Something like that.
For a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think basically we can all get behind the idea that makeup is better now than it used to be.
Right.
And we don't need something that fucking dumb.
And we can do a lot with makeup now. I mean, look at what they were able to do in Discovery with makeup, especially for Klingons. It's like, those are cool. I don't know why it's like that, but those are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloodbath at the CW.
Dun, dun, dun.
The CW has canceled 7 fucking shows.
Yep.
Naomi, Charmed, Dynasty, Legacies, 4400, In the Dark, and Roswell, New Mexico are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Dead, dead, dead. Anyway, yeah. So if you liked any of those shows, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, the only one that breaks my heart is Naomi because it was so good. And
have they announced anything new?
Yes.
Next article.
Oh, sweet.
Buckle up, buddy.
Yep.
The Supernatural prequel, The Winchesters, has been picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Love that fucking show. I love Supernatural. I love it. I love it almost as much as I love Star Trek.
I've watched some of it, and I don't know.
You didn't watch hard enough.
Okay, I'll try and watch it harder since it's over. Look,
the show went like 20 seasons.
I know. There's some bad.
There's some bad seasons. Make no mistake.
That show is the reason why I was shocked by all the cancellations this year. I'm like, since when does CW cancel anything?
20 seasons of Supernatural.
Nothing gets canceled on the CW.
No, and there are people who love that show, and I've watched it. There's nothing like wrong with it.
They are the pasta makers of television. They throw shit at the wall to see the kids, and then they don't bother to clean it off. They just leave it there, you know. Apparently,
Walker Texas Ranger has a prequel.
Why?
Called Walker Independent.
The show's bad. I get it. I'm sure Redneck America fucking loves this show. And I tried to watch it. I tried to love it. Couldn't even pay attention to it. I was like, this is just not my show.
Walker Independence is set in the late 1800s. It follows Abby Walker, Catherine McNamara, who played Green Arrow's daughter from the future.
What's that Paramount show? With Sam Elliott.
Yellowstone's prequel.
Yeah, so this is basically they're capitalizing on the success of Yellowstone and whatever that wagon train one is.
Look,
yeah.
As a guy who counts Silverado as one of his top five all-time favorite films,
mm-hmm.
If you're making more westerns, sooner or later you're going to accidentally make a good one.
Yeah.
So
I can agree with that.
Very yeah. true.
Yep, we hope.
I could agree with that. I need to watch Power of the Dog, but
So I'm just wearing their chaps all the time. Nobody wears their chaps all the time. I mean, all this homosexual overtones and everything. It's like, yeah, the show actually did.
Yeah.
It did. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why they were wearing their chaps. That seems to be more of a costuming decision. As a guy who rode motorcycles for several decades of his life, taking those off, putting them on again, huge pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. It follows Abby Walker, Catherine McNamara of Arrow fame, an affluent Bostonian woman whose husband is murdered before her eyes on a journey out west and her quest for revenge. Okie dokie. And then Gotham Knights. In the wake of Bruce Wayne's murder, his rebellious adopted son, Oscar Morgan, still haven't figured that part out yet. Which fucking Robin is he? Forges an unlikely alliance with the children of Batman's enemies when they are all framed for killing the Caped Crusader. So...
It's Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Here's
That's
the beauty of that
yeah.
is it's got Misha Collins from Supernatural playing Harvey Dent. So everybody's got a job.
Everybody has a job. JC, I'm so sorry. You still have to watch, so I don't have to.
I know. I have to watch Gotham Knights now, and I hope it's good. I do.
I do. I DC television is usually pretty decent.
It sounds like Red Hood and the Outlaws without, you know, ruining Starfire for everyone. But yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll probably be watching these with you. So.
Yeah.
I know I'll watch the Winchesters because I'm a sucker mm-hmm. for that canon.
I'll watch it and see if it's as good as the original. I'll probably watch the Old West one because I am a sucker for cowboy shows just like you.
Yep. Yep.
I just couldn't get into Walker Texas Ranger cowboy show.
It's the difference between I can listen to country music that happened before 1960.
Yeah.
When they're talking about running cattle and
right. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And shooting each other in the open streets of Laredo. I can listen to cowboy music. I can't mm-hmm. listen to fucking country. You know.
But see, I was hoping that, you know, with the casting for Walker, I mean, there's a good cast for Walker.
Oh yeah.
I was hoping I would get another Longmire. And I didn't. And that's what bugs me. Cuz Longmire for a cowboy show that's a modern cowboy show, that was a fucking amazing series.
Good books. Got a good base. Yeah. This one.
Right.
This one's got Chuck Norris.
This one's got Chuck Norris, which is why we have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave Bautista has said goodbye to Drax. We knew this was coming.
Yeah.
He He credits his casting as Drax of saving his life, and then he's like, "And I fucking hate this guy." So,
right.
But I would too if they had to put all that shit on me every day.
Yep.
True.
It doesn't look like a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What it tells you also is that him saying goodbye means they've wrapped Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yep.
True.
And we haven't gotten to Thor the Lost World, which is the first thing he's going to appear in. So, yep. Yeah.
So, I think we know by now that early Tom Clancy, especially mm-hmm. Tom Clancy before he died, Tom Clancy, a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. Look, yes. I saw you shake your head. Tom Clancy has put out about 80 books since he died.
Yeah.
I know. It just still blows my mind that they're like, here's another Tom Clancy book. Dude's dead.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Anyway, John Krasinski has been Jack Ryan on Amazon for 2 seasons. They've just finished filming and producing season 3. It's about to launch. They are in production of season 4, and they're going to end on season 4. And, you know what? I can't make my joke. It's spoilers.
Yeah.
Damn it. I was all leading up to a joke. Anyway, so.
Something about spaghetti or string cheese or something?
Well, no. Yeah. It was Michael Pena, who's in Ant-Man.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Is playing the badass Ding Chavez in season 4. And they're expecting that to actually spin off to a limited series show for Domingo Chavez. While John Krasinski will be ending his run as Jack Ryan. But yeah, almost everybody you know from that's coming back.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Sad it's ending, but
so I'm hearing one's leaving Disney for Amazon and the other one's leaving Amazon for Disney. What I'm saying.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be the joke. And we can be no more detailed than that.
No more detailed.
Netflix dropped a trailer for Love, Death, and Robots season 3.
Yes,
if you have enjoyed seasons 1 and 2 like we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's like. Speaking of off the mic conversations, that's like some weird student films from the animation department.
For sure.
Yeah.
But like I've been saying, it's like reading heavy metal in its heyday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. I enjoy
it. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen is standing by the Scarlet Witch's MCU evolution without dropping any spoilers. People have complained about Scarlet Witch's emotional arc, and especially the missing vision. It sounds like most of the complainers are incels who don't understand that when you're, and this is a WandaVision, spoiler. I feel okay about.
Yeah, I think you can't spoil WandaVision.
When your reincarnated husband tries to murder you, you're probably not going to want him around very much.
True.
So that's why we really don't see him in Multiverse of Madness, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, well, he had gotten back all the memories, but none of the emotions.
Yeah.
Right.
So talk about, it's one thing to be married to a robot. Now you're married to an emotionally distant robot, you know.
Which, funny story, signed divorce papers yesterday.
Oh.
I would be the emotionally distant robot. That would be yeah, it was
Congratulations.
Funny.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well done.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It was, there were lots of smiles. There was handshakes, fist bumps, a little bit of woohoo from her fiance. And, they can move forward with their plans. And, and the thing is it's like I taught myself how to write divorce papers over a year and a half. So this has not been a small process. This has been a long process. And it's been frankly dragged out by me, not on purpose, but because I'm teaching myself to do law.
I've been through that with contracts. So
yeah.
It's not an easy thing.
So, but it looks good, and I I feel pretty good about it. I got the paperwork out in the car. Now I just have to go and file it. So, you know, if anybody wants to loan me $600 to do that, I'd really appreciate it. It's expensive to get divorced. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. There you go.
Not going to hit up my fiance for that $600?
He
seems to be the one most excited about the whole thing.
He's already, what is it, getting the milk for free? Anyway, that's it for the news. Thank God nobody listens to this show.
Oh, Lord.
Nobody involved listens to the comic book show.
Yep.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
We're going to take a little break and we'll come back. We're talking comics.
Hi guys, my name's Gigi Edgley and I play Chiana on Farscape and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Enjoy. As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Hey gang, Jeff here. This segment of the program is brought to you by The Nerd Store. The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley, Utah, brings you everything you need to complete your geek. The airlock to Epic, the Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall or nerdstoreutah.com.
We got a box! What is it?
Oh, you'll see.
No! What's in the box?
Let's get some comic book news.
Comic book news coming right up. Invincible's Battle Beast will return in Kirkman and Otley's Skybound X story. Fans of the Invincible comic books and the animated series are in for a treat. Image Comics and Skybound are releasing a new volume to hit anthology series Skybound X, featuring a Battle Beast story reuniting creators Kirkman and Ryan Otley, local Golden Boy.
Yep.
I do like his work, man. That kid's got talent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, between him and Phil Seve, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Skybound X25 is embracing the Images of Tomorrow legacy by showcasing four all-new series. Battle Beast will be a part of that celebration. The extra-long issue is delivering the first look at upcoming comic launches, highlighting the return of Battle Beast, while also introducing fans and readers to new characters from some of the biggest names in comics today. Yeah, they don't say what's coming, but mm-hmm. You've got Andre Brisson. With Andrea Lucas, you've got Lorenzo Di Felici, you got Max Smith, and all these guys are doing covers, which is going to be fun.
Nice.
Lots and lots of fun. Looking forward to it. Dan Slott is returning to usher in the end of the Spider-Verse. We're going to have to wait till next summer to the highly anticipated Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse movie. The Oscar-winning film, but Marvel has us covered with the Dan Slott writing the end of the Spider-Verse. To wit, he says, Marvel has decided to do the unthinkable, go big, and bring the saga of the comic book Spider-Verse to a fiery mm-hmm. conclusion. That's right.
There
later this year, we will all bear witness to the end of the Spider-Verse. He said it in all caps, but I don't feel like yelling right now.
I appreciate that.
And then, did you guys flip through this article?
I was going to say, that's the way of the Marvel comics, because Captain America had a really big movie, but if you went to read Captain America comics, he was dead.
Yeah,
right.
Bucky was now Captain America. We just had a big, really big, really good Doctor Strange movie. But so right now, Stephen Strange is dead and Clea is there. Who's, you know, it's just, she's Strange now. And then you've got, now Dan Slott. It's like, yeah, we're going to do a big Spider-Verse movie. Okay, I'm killing the Spider-Verse.
Okay, I'm going back to my question. Have you read through this article?
No.
I flipped through it.
Spider Laird. Have you not seen the picture of Spider Laird?
Spider Laird.
You're going to want to scroll down because I want to read this comic book. A Scottish Spider-Man.
Well, that's the one I'll be reading.
Yeah. Spider Laird, co-created by Martin Coccolo. Slott says proudly, is the first kilt-wearing hero of the Spider-Verse. According to Slott, this new costume will give cosplayers more freedom of movement and a chance to let their knees breathe.
That's very important.
I'm just...
Very important, Dad.
It's all right there. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Fuck, all I got to do is grow my hair out, and I could wear a wig. Marvel is revealing a first look at the new transgender superhero, Escapade. In the 2022 edition of Marvel Voices Pride, Marvel will be debuting the brand new hero. I don't know. I'm excited. Known as Sheila Sexton, Escapade has the ability to instantaneously switch physical locations with another person. That'd be you're just standing there, and then all of a sudden you're somewhere else.
Yeah,
you know, that is a power with consequences.
True.
Yes,
very
it is.
True. Yeah.
Another person or trade any specific physical or abstract attribute such as possessions, organizational status, skills, superhuman powers, even situations. This sounds like a badass superhero.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Escapade is only able to maintain the power for a few hours at a time and must be within 7 feet of her target. So I guess you wouldn't be that surprised. You'd just be like, wait, what? Wait,
where'd my muffin go? Why do they have my muffin? So, how did they get my muffin? Where did it go?
Oh Lord!
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. I'm looking forward to reading it. We'll do it. Let's see. Amazing Fantasy 1000 recruits comic book legends for Spider-Man's 60th anniversary, including Neil Gaiman, Johnny Hickman. He asked me to call him that. Dan Slott. He wrote a chart on why it was okay to call him that.
Yeah.
18 pages long. Armando Iannucci, Hoche Anderson, Kurt Busiek, Anthony Falcone, Rainbow Rowell, Jim Chung, Oliver Kupiel, Michael Cho, Terry Dodson, all coming back for Amazing Fantasy 1000 in August of 2022. So
it looks good.
What's funny is that the same week that we get Amazing Fantasy 1000, we also get the release of Spider-Man 900.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. Looking forward to it. And then Kevin Smith paid tribute to George Perez, saying he's such an absolute sweetheart. He was one of the good ones, Smith said. An absolute legend, of course, in the art form, whose work on Wonder Woman, whose work on Crisis, whose work on the aforementioned Infinity Gauntlet, Stellar, Titanic, Mount Rushmore work. But the thing you hear time and again, and that I knew personally from all the folks on Comic Book Men and also from having met George in real life, he was such a nice guy, an absolute sweetheart. We actually still have his shirt hanging up at the stash. Sweet.
Yeah.
Very much.
So that is it for the comic book news.
Well, let's talk about what we've been reading this week. Let's start with Joss.
So I went and picked up my comic books and I read a whole bunch, you guys. And not one of them is what I picked up this week. So I played catch up. However, that does mean I'm almost completely caught up on my floppies, which is a rare, rare occurrence in my life. I mean, I read a lot. Firepower 19. If you haven't been reading Firepower, please pick it up and read it. There is a giant dragon. Owen and his family are in dire trouble, and there's blue fireballs. Like, how can you go wrong with that?
You can't.
Right, exactly. Like, it's really good. Ghost Rider 2, I've not read Ghost Rider previously. I picked up the first one just because it kind of looked cool. And I try to branch out And I'm not sure what's going on because there's an FBI agent who likes to sleep in a coffin and can sense Ghost Rider, and she's
don't
coming
knock
for him.
Until you've tried it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, true. It might be like one of those sensory deprivation chambers. I don't know. But it was really good. The Captain Marvel annual was quite delightful in that it just was such a good one-off. It was a one-off. You don't have to know anything about Captain Marvel. You don't have to know anything about the Starjammers. And you can just read this one and have fun with it. So pick that one up. What else? Oh, I read Stillwater number 12. So here's the problem with not keeping up on your comic books, friends, is that sometimes you accidentally read things out of order. And so I read Stillwater number 12, which really made that Stillwater the Escape that I read. It really made it make a whole lot more sense. But it is also delightful, and they are still trying to escape the town, and the boundaries got bigger, so it's going to take them longer. And then finally, I'll mention Elektra number 100, because as we all know, Daredevil is my jam, and this is just a Daredevil spinoff. But they're Elektra and Typhoid Mary are gonna pull some shenanigans, and I think it's going to have some wide-reaching consequences across the Daredevil verse, at least, and probably into the greater Marvel Comics as a whole. So it was really good. Really good. How about you guys?
Yeah. Jeff?
Sorry, I just got hypnotized by the melodic tones.
I seriously looked at the screen and you both just looked so overwhelmed. Sorry about that.
I think we can move on to It's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. You read all the comic books.
You read everything.
I picked up Thor versus Hulk, Banner of War. Okay, I'm going to say some words right now, and I just need you to follow along for a minute.
Okay.
So, Banner put a helmet on the Hulk that turns the Hulk into a Hulk-sized spaceship with which Banner uses to try and find a place to live that is away from Earth. And away from people. So Banner is basically a thought in Hulk's mind driving Hulk like a spaceship. Hulk's consciousness is trapped in a room he's calling the engine room, where Banner sends a series of more and more complicated and angry things for Hulk to fight, and then uses Hulk's anger as fuel for the Hulk ship. Okay, Donny Cates,
that was a lot,
weird fucker. So basically Hulk has been accused of killing 14 people back on Earth, and he happens to be flying past Asgard. Thor, after everything that's been going on in his comic, is in a bad fucking mood. And he's like, oh, hey, there's Hulk. I'm gonna blow off some steam and take him back to Earth. And so they fight. And it is an epic fight on a planet full of ancient Disney cartoons. Here's the thing.
Wow.
Here's the most important thing. It was awesome. It was so good.
That's all that matters. That's seriously all that matters. Amazing.
There is a scene where Thor puts Mjolnir on Hulk, right, to hold him still.
Mm-hmm.
And Hulk just does a push-up, which tears a Mjolnir-shaped hole through his torso to get up and keep fighting.
Wow.
And I'm like, I have never thought about that as a way to get out from under Thor's hammer, but there you are.
I mean,
and only a couple of beings could manage to pull that off and not die from it. Yeah.
And the Immortal Hulk is one of them.
Yep.
So, yeah, that happened. And I'm like, fuck it. I am all in. I am balls deep on this one. And then I read 8 Billion Genies.
Mm-hmm.
That we talked about last week and started off a little weak. And by the time it got to the end, I'm like, I'm hooked. I'm interested, you know, to see. Mm-hmm. It's they do a population count and a genie population count. So it starts off in around 8 billion of each, one for everybody. And then all of a sudden, you start noticing that the population, the human population count is dipping faster than the genie count.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because people are not behaving with their wishes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So,
I wish my boss would go away forever.
Like that. Yep. I want my parents to burn in hell. That's what I think.
Yep.
So, yeah, that one, it's only going to be 8 issues. It's Charles Soleil. So the writing's good. I'm looking forward to reading more next month.
There you go.
Yeah. How about you?
I only read one book this week because I haven't been able to get to the comic book store, but I read Captain America, Symbol of Truth. This is Sam as Captain America. Sam Wilson is Cap. Tochi Onabuchi is the writer, and Arby Silva is fucking murdering it with the art. I mean, murdering it. Along with Jesus Abertov doing the colors.
It is gorgeous. I mean, it's beautiful.
Just a gorgeous book. Bright and interesting and exciting. You start out with the classic nonstop action of a good Captain America book. And then you take a little pause to see what happened before. And it's Sam walking around Harlem with Misty Knight and having a long conversation about what she's doing, what he's doing, how she would like him to do stuff and with her. Work with her and also do stuff with her, I guess. The whole time he's wearing a shirt I think he got out of Clinton Barton's locker because it's a Hawkeye shirt.
Nah.
He's wearing it the whole time, and I was laughing. I was chuckling at that. Of course, we go back, and yeah, we got Sam being Sam, and it's just, this is raucous. This is fun. If Sentinel of Liberty is half as good as this, it's still going to be an amazing book. So I sent an email today to make sure I get them both in my hold because this looks like a solid series. It's not the same writer and artist team on Sentinel of Liberty. So I'm going to give Sentinel of Liberty a chance, but we'll see if I like it. But so far, Symbol of Truth is amazing. With what happened yesterday, day before recording in Buffalo, I'm like, well, you have an opportunity, but I know how long, one, it takes to pivot in comics because a lot of things are being created that are months out right now.
Right.
So it's doing that pivot in a timely manner that will actually make it work. But yeah, it's I think that would be a unique opportunity for Sam to be involved in dealing with this current wave of "You will not replace this racism that's happening in this country." And I'd like to see that because that's a Captain America thing. You know, as much as I'd like to see Luke Cage in the grocery store when it's being shot up and he just walks up to the guy and breaks him. Having Sam Wilson have his say would be really good too. So, but it's going to take a while to pivot. Like I said,
right.
As I have learned, art takes a long fucking time. So even when they're paying you a lot of money, it still takes a lot of time, even for the pros. That was what I read. So today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
What are you looking forward to this week? We'll start with Joss.
We'll start with mainstream because from Marvel, just a couple of things that are going to be in my hold, at least I think so. Elektra Black White and Blood number 4 is coming out. And again, I try and branch out, but I'm still just a Daredevil and spinoff lover at heart. So that one, of course, will be there. And then also, I'm going to pick up Wolverine patch number 2. I read the first one. It was just a delightful little spy story, and I want to see where it's going to go because I think it's a limited run of 5. Mm-hmm. And those short series are kind of my favorites because they're not as overwhelming as 900 issues of Spider-Man. So what about you guys? Jeff?
Well, Marvel, I'm picking up Thor 25 because that continues the story of the Banner War. Of Thor versus Banner. Like I said, no matter how fucking dumb everything I said was, I'm in.
I think it works. I really liked your recap. So it made me want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Donny Cates is a fucking lunatic is what it means.
That's really what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and then DC Shadow War Zone. It's a special issue showcasing the spread and impact of the Shadow War on the DCU. Talia al Ghul has put a hit out on anyone who has ever worked with Deathstroke. But that includes Black Canary. Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, so got a new villain, Angel Breaker. She might be connected to Ghostmaker.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We don't know. We'll find out. I'm guessing costume and swords, but that's just me. Anyway, yeah, so that looks like it's going to be a little bit of fun. What about you, sir?
For me, providing it actually gets on the shelves, even though it's been solicited, Marvel Voices Identity number 1. Why they had to make this number 1 when it's the second of the Asian superheroes and Asian writers working on it.
Because they're doing it by year now.
Yeah, so this is the new Marvel. This is a new Marvel Voices for Identity. You've got Ms. Marvel, you've got Shang-Chi, you've got Wong, and you've got Mantis dressed in Guardians of the Galaxy kind of costume, or at least early Star-Lord costume on the cover, so that should be interesting. Yeah, all AAPI creators. So I hope it makes it in because I want to read it. And then now look, I've had bad luck with the Milestone books so far that they've been putting out for this Milestone Returns. But although they did whatever they did with the three main titles, now they're going to bring in some new stuff, and we're starting with a new one called Duo. The only reason this one's interesting to me is because Greg Pak is writing it and DK Ruin is illustrating it. And those are that gets me excited. Well, at least DK Ruin's doing the cover. Sorry, Scott Hanna is illustrating it. So it's pretty much an all Asian group writing and doing this. Nanotech engineers Dr. Kelly Vu and Dr. David Kim are committed to only one thing more than each other, using their regenerative nanobots to save the world and following a violent attack. Those very same nanobots end up saving David and Kelly's lives, sort of. Their salvation comes with an unexpected consequence. Husband and wife awaken to realize that they now share one superpowered body.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's two thrilling new superheroes in the body of one with the power of billions of nanobots. But how close is too close with the love of your life literally in your head? And what happens when a couple so closely bound discovers they have very different ideas on how their newfound powers should be used?
I want to raise it Catholic. I want to raise it Protestant.
Something like that. But yeah, this is finally moving beyond Dakota and everything for Earth M. But yeah, I'm okay. I want to see where we go with this. And then independent wise this week, I tried to leave stuff for you guys, independent wise. Joss caught the other one I was going to grab, but I left it for you. But me, I'm kind of a sucker for these things. This is an Age of Bronze adaptation of Iphigenia in Aulis by Euripides, which is probably one of his most dramatic plays. It's actually one that gets performed quite often by Greek theater groups, even more so than Frogs or some of the other weird ones that he wrote. Iphigenia is probably the most accessible of his plays for a modern audience. So I'm interested in checking this one out. It's a graphic novel. But yeah, Iphigenia in Aulis, adapted by Edward Einhorn and illustrated by Eric Schanauer. And I like Schanauer's art, so that should be fun. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie picks?
From AWA, they were collecting Knighted, which you started reading.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I enjoyed the hell out of that book.
And we kept selling out of that book. So now I can finally read it. And then The Peanut Butter Sisters and Other American Stories from Drawn and Quarterly. Drawn and Quarterly puts out some pretty good stuff. In this one, The Peanut Butter Sisters is a glorious balance of contradictions, at once escapism and realism, science fiction and slice of life. Two students explore the urban landscape while following Newton Creek, the polluted Queens-Brooklyn border. As they do, they play on a traditional Japanese play with contemporary pop culture. Okay, I'm in.
Okay, sure.
You know, if Hulk is a spaceship, The Peanut Butter Sisters can work.
Yep, it all works.
Yeah. But yeah, I honestly, thanks to Andy, Malin, I'm expanding into a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
Because he reads a lot of really cool stuff.
Well, when it comes to Drawn and Quarterly, that imprint's been around a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
I think even before Image, it's been around. So yeah, it's always been the independent producer of books, the original indie comics, and yeah, and they're not capes and tights, that's for sure.
Yep,
they do what they want to do. Yep,
for sure.
Joss?
So just a brief mention of from Ablaze, Life Zero number 4. I did pick up Life Zero number 3, but I haven't read it yet. But it's zombies, and I just like zombies. I always have. From Image, Rain number 5. This will be the last issue of Rain. So watch for that. It'll come out as a trade paperback, I'm sure, but it has also been delightful and scary and frightening. But what I'm really looking forward to from Image Comics is I Hate This Place number 1.
That's not what it says on the cover.
That is not what it says on the cover.
The cover says this place.
Yeah, it sure does. Sure does. And so Trudy and Gabby inherited a house and they're going to start a new life together. Except it's home to a mysterious force that's attracted ghosts, aliens, and all kinds of supernatural beings for decades. So now Gabby and Trudy must play by house rules in order to survive living among the most frightening creatures on Earth.
Because what are you going to do? Move?
Right. You inherited a house in this economy? Of course you're going to stay there and play by their rules.
Stay in there, yeah.
But it's being written by Kyle Starks, who did the 6 sidekicks of Trigger Keaton, which was also delightful. And so I'm going to find it. I'm going to pick it up because it looks good.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Right?
I read this solicitation. I'm like, ooh. I better save this one because I think Joss will grab it. All right.
Yep. And I did.
Well, I guess that's it for us this week. Anything else, kids?
Nothing.
No.
Well, as always, I invite you to join us over on Patreon. We're going to go back to that list because we're still pretty far down on that list. We need to get moving along on it. We took a break to spoil Doctor Strange to death. But now we're going back into the best comics and best graphic novels, top 100 of all time, blah, 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 blah. We're going to cover, 61 through 70. And I think this one has some controversial ones in there we're going to hit. So that should be exciting. And as always, if you love us, why not show the world by shopping the shows and picking up a World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast t-shirt? Con season is about to start, so love to see you wearing it at cons. Take photos. Tag us at Hold322 on Twitter, at Hold322 on Facebook, and at SifuJC on Instagram, because I'm not going to set up an Instagram for this show yet. Not until we're out and about in the world again.
Right.
And I will say, as I always do, until Sam Wilson raids Clint Barton's locker, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.